So tonight we're finishing up our series, Contagion. Who's excited about that? Yeah. This has been a really cool series. We talked about the first week. We talked about God's love, right? We talked about how his love is, and we defined what love was. And we came to the understanding that love is not a feeling, it's not an emotion, but that love is an action, right? And it requires us to do something. And we said that God's love is so active that it should make us live differently, talk differently, and act differently. And many of you did different things. You took bold steps, and you took a big leap of faith, and you did some things, and some of it worked out really good, and other times it didn't work out like you quite hoped, but you took the step. And we talked about how God's love should be a contagion, and a contagion is an influence. It spreads rapidly, right? And so God's love should be a contagion that just fills the earth, because really it's an antidote to everything that's going on, everything that's going wrong in the world. God's love is the answer. And some of you are probably thinking, yeah, whatever, there's no way. No, trust me, there is, because if his love changed my life, he doesn't love me more than he loves you. His love will change your life too, okay? God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't love me any more than he loves you. He has the same love for all of us. He doesn't play favorites. And so then last week we talked about one of the biggest misconceptions and one of the biggest things that really messes us up when it comes to spreading God's love, and that was lust. And we defined what lust was, and lust is just seeing something and having to have it. And we talked about physical lust, but it's not just that physical lust when you look at a girl or you look at a guy and you're like, I want that. It could be lusting after something that someone else has. It could be wanting that new car, the newest phone, whatever it may be. That's lust, and lust is something that just consumes us, and the enemy lies to us and confuses us and makes us to think that love is lust, and lust is love, and it just isn't. You know, we say it all the time. We're like, man, I love your hair, right? We talked about that, but really, lots of the times what you girls are saying to the other girl is, I wish I had your hair. And you say, I love your mom. I love your dad. I wish I had your mom, your dad. I love your house. I wish I lived in your house. I love your car. I wish I drove your car, right? So lust gets in the way of us really becoming those people that God's called us to be, to spread his love that changes the world. Where tonight, as you can see, there is a bed on the stage, okay? And so tonight, some of you are already really, really nervous. Some of you are like, there is a bed on the stage. And for some of you, you look at that bed and you see, man, that looks really comfortable. I'd really like to lay down on that and take a nap. And you see comfort and you see rest when you look at that bed. Others of you, you take a look at that bed and you see it as a place of rebellion because you do things in that bed that you shouldn't be doing. Others of you look at that bed and you see it as a place of regret because you've done something you shouldn't have done. And some of you are like, why is there a bed in church? I want to go ahead and tell you this right now. The reason a bed is in church is because it's time to bring the bed back into church and church back into the bed. Because so many times we hear about it everywhere else and we talk about it everywhere else, but the only place you're going to hear truth about it from God's word is right here. So tonight, we're going to talk about sex. Yeah. Right? Everybody likes that, right? Come on, just say it. Let's talk about sex. Come on, say it really loud. Say sex. All right. Now, it's the first time you probably ever yelled out sex in church. So when you go home tonight, you can be like, Mom, Dad, I went to this place Relevant for the first time, and I got to yell sex in church. They're going to be like, not Jesus, sex? Well, we yell Jesus too, okay? And we're by no means, worshiping sex. But we've got to talk about sex because a bed is a powerful symbol. And for some of us, it brings about major internal conflict. And so it's time to talk about sex because sex is worship. Sex is worship. And worship is sex. And here's why I say that. And we're going to break it down for you really simple. Some of you are like, this guy is off his rocker. Trust me, this is all going to make sense to you. Because sex is worship and worship is sex. For years, the church has taught us simply not to. Don't have sex. The world has told us how to. And tonight, we're going to talk about what to and who to. Because some of us have got the wrong idea about sex. And some of you in this room, it's unfortunate, but this might be the first time you've ever had a sex talk. Because at home, many of us grew up in a place, man, you don't talk about it, right? You just don't talk about it. Anybody? Y'all are all like, you're like toning me out already because you think you already know what I'm going to say. Let me tell you something. You have no clue what I'm going to say. No clue. So if you're sitting there with your boyfriend, you're sitting there with your girlfriend, stop toning me out, okay? Because you're about to hear some truth, and the truth will set you free, and the truth will change your life because it's straight out of God's word, and it transforms our minds. But most of us grew up in a home where we didn't talk about sex. I remember when I was growing up, I was in high school before I ever talked about sex with my parents. I knew all about it, or so I thought, right? Man, I had already fooled around and stuff. I hadn't had sex, but I had already fooled around. I thought I knew everything about it, man. You know, I could read about it in magazines. You didn't have the internet, right? Al Gore hadn't invented it yet. But you'll get that when you're older. But anyway, so I remember driving home with my dad, and I was in a performing arts school, and there was a guy in my performing arts school who began to have an affair with the choreographer. He was in high school, and she was not, and she was married. And so suddenly my dad thought it was time to have the sex talk. Hello, Dad. A little too late, okay? Just a little behind the times there. I was like, dude, he's already told me all about it, okay? So it was too late. So I'm here tonight to give you truth about sex because I believe for some of you and for all of us, it's not too late. Some of you may be hearing about it for the first time. Some of you are going to hear the truth about it for the first time. But you're in one of two places. Some of you are in the place where, you know, you just try to suppress it. Just don't think about it. Just don't give into it. Others of you are in the place where you're like, man, yeah, let's do it. Wherever, whatever, whoever, with him, with her, with two, with more. Some of you think that way. Some of you don't even act like you've never thought about that because some of you have. Some of you have. And tonight, you're going to get your minds altered just a little bit. Because here's why. Sex is a God-given gift. Sex is a God-given gift, but so oftentimes it's used in a God-forbidden way. It's a God-given gift that in today's world is used in a God-forbidden way, and we need to learn how to use it in a God-driven way. So what is the God-driven way? What's the God-driven way for sex? How is sex worship and worship is sex? The God-driven way for sex is simply this, one word, marriage. Marriage. And some of you are grinning because you're like, whatever, I knew he was going to say that. Yeah, but it gets better. It gets a whole lot better. You see, sex is a supernatural gift given to us for a husband and for a wife to experience the oneness that God created us to have. That's why in Genesis it says they will become one flesh. That's sex. Do you realize that when God said that they will become one flesh, he was talking about sex. Sin had not entered the world yet. Sex was here before sin was. We turned it into sin. We messed it up. The God-driven way was that sex would be worship and that worship would be sex. We need to correct our minds and reconnect our minds to God and to sex. You see, sex is something we are before it's something we do. Sex is something we are before it's something that we do. And I want to say this to you, and some of you saw my dry erase board in my office weeks ago and asked me to please explain that statement, because here's the statement, and I'm going to say this to all of you. You need to have bigger sex. You need to have bigger sex. Because in this world, you're having little sex. And here's why I say that. The only way you can have bigger sex, the only way you can have the sex that this bed invites is in the context of marriage. Outside of marriage, it's just little sex. Believe me, I know. It's just little sex outside of marriage. It doesn't mean a thing. And some of you are sitting there thinking, oh, come on, it's just sex. That's the problem. You think it's just sex, and it's so much more because sex is worship. You don't walk in and go, oh, it's just worship. Well, some of you might. Maybe your minds will change about that. But we don't think that way. We shouldn't think that way. That's not the natural way to think, is that it's just sex. We think that way because the world has skewed it. Many of us have a very small vision for sex. We just have sex. Let me tell you a story about this dog, and I cannot remember his name, Gina, so help me remember. There was, when we lived in Country Club, there was this black lab. What was his name? You remember? Big, beautiful black. Anybody ever seen a Belgian lab? Huh? Buddy, yeah. Anybody ever seen a big Belgian lab? I mean, their head is like this big. He was like this tall. It was amazing, the most beautiful black silky coat, and he'd come down and he'd jump up on you. He just wanted loving, man. He'd lick all over you. He'd lick all over anybody. And one day I walk out, and there's this little dog, okay? Very little dog, like miniature schnauzer little dog. And Buddy going to town on the little schnauzer. And I'm like, Buddy, no! I'm like screaming, get off him! Get off! Well, actually, it was a girl. Get off her, you know? I'm screaming at this dog, and I have to pull him off. I'm like, what are you doing? That's not your kind, right? And I'm like, it's a little dog. You're a big dog. And I should have said, you need to have big sex. That's little sex. But see, that's what we do, isn't it? You see, sex outside of marriage, we're just like a dog. Do you get it? We're just like a dog. Sex outside of marriage is just like a dog. Yeah, I have sex with her. Sex with her. Yeah, it's just, that's what dogs do. Look at the person sitting next to you and say, girl or dude, you're not an animal. Okay? You're not an animal. You were not created to have sex like that. So here's the thing. Let me give you this statistic. All right, everybody come back to me. Come on. Come on. Come back. Guys, come back. Here's the thing. Some of you will be very shocked by this. Mostly it will just be guys that are shocked by this. The girls already know. Did you know that the average man thinks about sex every 20 seconds? And they look at their boyfriend. Did you know? It's true. It's true. So you see, the problem isn't we don't think about it. The problem is not that we don't think about sex. It's that we have a shallow view about it. So I'm going to take a look, and I want you to join me in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. So go ahead, if you got your Bibles or you have your phones that have a YouVersion or anything like that on it, go ahead and open them up to Genesis chapter 1. If you're sitting with somebody, they don't have one, share with them. Genesis chapter 1. Now, Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, you're like, why are you going all the way back to the beginning? Because in the beginning, these first two chapters that God wrote in his Bible, in his words to us, are all about us being fully alive. That's what it's all about. Genesis 1 and chapter 2 is talking all about creation, how he created us, and how we're supposed to live life to the fullest. So let's look at this. Genesis 1, verse 24, and God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its own kind. And so it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. That was day 5. Animals were created. Okay? Animals were created. Look at the person next to you. Say, you're not an animal. You're not. So quit acting like one. All right. Verse 26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image. You're like, us. Why does it say us? I thought this was God. Yeah, God's talking to himself. 3 in 1, the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. You see, right there, God shows us. He made us unique. He made us different. He didn't make us to be animals. He made us unique, male and female, not animals, in his image. Not in the image of a Belgian lab. He made us in his image. So what is his image? His image is fully human. Fully human. Fully physical and fully spiritual. I love it when people say to me, man, I just wish I had a stronger spiritual life. There is no other life. You can't compartmentalize the two. They're one in the other. They're connected. They are one in the same. Physical and spiritual is one in the same because we are created in his image, fully physical, fully spiritual. Did Jesus have a body? Yes. Did Jesus have a bodily death? Yes. Did Jesus have a bodily resurrection? Yes. Did he have a spirit? Yes. We are created in his image. So do we have a body? Yes. So we have a physical life and we have spirituality. That's our spirit. He molded our soul and put it into us. He molded your soul. That's what that verse says when he says, you knit me together in my mother's womb. He molded your soul. He fashioned us in his own image. So guess what? Sex is spiritual. Some of you are thinking, sure didn't feel like it. That's because you were having little sex. Sex is spiritual. Why? God created it, and God created us. We're spiritual, and sex is spiritual, and if you want to have a great sex life, if you want to have bigger sex, then you have to understand that you were made in the image of God, not in the image of a dog that goes around and just has little sex. He wants you, God wants you, to have the best sex ever. God created you to have the greatest sex ever. Getting under the sheets with your boyfriend or your girlfriend right now ain't it. It's not it. It's not how he intended it to be. Take a look at this, Genesis 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. Then the man said, now here's the thing, right? Adam's been really, really busy, okay? He's named all of the, like he looked at that lab and he said, Belgian lab, right? So he named all of the animals, right? He's been working really, really hard. He's really, really tired. He's been put into a deep sleep and he wakes up and this is what he says. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That's it. Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. He was talking about, she is mine, we are connected, we're going to be one flesh, and he is talking about sex. And they were naked and felt no shame. If we were all naked in here right now, I'd be running out of this place. I would feel a little shame, wouldn't you? Why? Because sin entered the world. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not advocating nudist colonies. Okay? Some of y'all are like, what is he talking about? But here's the thing. Sex was created before sin entered the world. So sex isn't sin when it's used and done in a God-driven way. When it's not spiritual. It doesn't draw you closer to God. So guess what? It is sin. It isn't right. That's why if you were sitting in this room and you have done that, that's why you felt the shame the next day. That's why if you're sitting in this room and you were making out maybe with your boyfriend or your girlfriend even before you came in here tonight, you might have been hanging out on the basketball court. I don't know. And that's why you're sitting there going, guess we really shouldn't have been doing that, right? That's called shame. I'm not heaping that on you. I'm not throwing you condemnation. I want you to know grace. I want you to know love. I want you to know mercy because that's what God gives us. But you see, the thing is, the shame, the guilt, the condemnation that you feel, you're feeling it from the same one who drew you to do it in the first place. From the one who wanted to pervert it and make it into sin. He's called our enemy, Satan. He draws on our own lustful desires, and sometimes we do it all on our own too. We give the devil way too much credit sometimes. Sometimes we go, man, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. He ain't the one that undid your belt. You did. So one flesh, oneness, is sexual intercourse. It's making love. God gave us sex before sin entered the world. So sex isn't gross or bad, but it must be used in a God-driven way. And what's the God-driven way? Say it louder. Amen. How many of you want to get married one day? Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Save it. It's better that way. No, it really is. Some of you in this room, you've gone down the road before and you made that mistake. You've tried to cover it up. You've tried to hide it. You felt the shame. You felt the condemnation. But the great news is, some of you in this room that went down that road before, I know that you've already received the forgiveness. And I know that God's already made you new. But some of you in this room tonight, I pray that you will take that step, because it's up to you to be made new. God has the power, but he's waiting for you to ask. So let me ask you this right now. Every eye closed, and I don't want you to answer out loud. I want you to think this to yourself. If that's you tonight, and you've never asked God for forgiveness, is that you? Did you go down that road? Have you asked him to make you new? Have you even given it a second thought? Let me ask you this. Has sex ever helped you be more like Christ or draw you closer to God? And quite simply, the answer is no. And the reason why is this. Because if you're not married, you can't do it in a God-driven way. You can't do it the way God created it to be done. Sex is worship. Worship is sex. It's spiritual. Has it ever helped you live a life that honors God? You can open your eyes. You know, last week we talked about how are we going to, you know, combat the lust, not just physical lust, any lust. How do we beat that? How do we resist the temptation to do that? And it was a one-point message, and it was simply this: live a life that honors God. If you live a life that honors God, everything else is going to take care of itself. I'd really like for everybody to please pay attention, so stop the chitter-chatter. Thank you. When we have sex outside of marriage, we act on our God-given, okay? God gave us sexual desires, right? But when we have sex outside of marriage, we act on our God-given sexual desires, we use them in a God-forbidden way to have sex with someone in a non-God-driven way. We can't do that. I remember growing up, I had my very first car, okay? And it was very used, okay? In fact, it was given to me and it didn't have brakes. But it was a 1971 Fiat 124 Sport Spider convertible. And it was fast, and it was really, I thought, cool. You know, and my car stereo, some of you have heard me tell the story before, it was a boom box with detachable speakers and D batteries in it, right? And it would sit in the back seat. And in fact, somebody hit me in the high school parking lot, hit my car, and so it was brown and then Bondo on the left fender, so it was really cool, right? But it had these horribly ripped up seats. And the seats had sheepskin on them, like real sheepskin, right? And it was really, really soft. And in the summer in Florida, it was really, really hot, right? Well, I come out one morning because I had to wash them. I had to shampoo them every once in a while, right? And I had them laid out to dry. And I walk out there, and my dog is humping the sheepskin. And I'm like, that is disgusting. I mean, it wasn't even alive. It's dead sheepskin. It can't even do anything back, right? But my dog just thought it was the greatest thing ever. It was disgusting. And needless to say, I had to clean them again. And I wasn't about to sit on them. But you see, when we have sex outside of marriage, that's exactly what we're doing. We're acting like a little dog. They'll just stick it anywhere, give it up anywhere. Doesn't matter who, doesn't matter where, doesn't matter why, doesn't matter what, doesn't matter when. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to give in to my desire, and I'm just going to do it. And you see, all this weekend, you've heard this kind of talk before, man. You'll hear it in the parking lot at the Pig if you hang out there. You'll hear it at the parking lot of Sonic. You'll hear it at Sonic. And you'll hear it anywhere you hang out. You'll hear language just like this. You'll hear it in the locker room at school. You'll hear this. Man, I got some. I got me a piece of that. And you'll hear, ooh, girl, look at that. Mm. Right? Maybe not the mm. Ooh, girl, look at that. right? You'll see it on Instagram, you'll thank it. See it on Facebook, you'll thank it. Watch the Academy Awards and go, right? The guys will get the new Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition and be like, man, look at that. And let me just say, it's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit issue really isn't selling swimsuits, just so you know, okay? I'm not sure if you're aware, guys. None of those are going to fit you, okay? They're not made for you, and neither was she. And it's no coincidence that it's been taken and given to us around the time that we celebrate love every year. You ever think about that? Comes out in February, doesn't it, guys? Interesting. Somebody knows. Just kidding, bro. But that's when it comes out. Why? Because the enemy wants us to think that lust is love and love is lust. It's not. It's not the same. But you'll hear that kind of talk. And here's what we're doing when we say those types of things. We're saying this, that people are objects and people are products for us to consume. And they're not. They're not. Not even in the closest. You can't control a dog, right? A dog is strictly a physical body. This is going to bother my wife, but dogs don't go to heaven. Maybe they do. I'm just kidding. All right, I'm not kidding. But anyway, I don't know the answer to that, but we'll find out one day. But here's the thing. Stop. Stay with me. We're talking about sex, all right? Here's the thing. Dogs do not have a spiritual body. How do I know that? Because they weren't created in the image of Christ. In the image of Christ, we were created. Not dogs, us. So you can't control a dog. So when you look at somebody, when you look at your boyfriend, you look at your girlfriend, you're like, I just can't control it. What you're really saying is, rah! I'm a dog. And when your boyfriend says to you ladies, I just can't control it, baby. Just give me, come on, just give me a taste. Just give me some. You need to look at him. You need to do this. You need to go, rah! And run. Because he's acting like a dog. He's acting like a dog. How do you think the term, man, he is such a dog, came from? Hello? Connect the dots, people. And ladies, it's the same thing with you. Because this ain't just a guy problem. Okay? It's the same thing with you, ladies. When you're like, oh, baby, please. Guys, you need to look at her and you need to go, woof! Because she's acting like a dog. We're not animals. But when we give into our sexual desires, our God-given sexual desires, before God gives us the freedom to, we're acting like dogs. We're having little sex. We're made in the image of God because God gave us his image and he gave us a soul and he knit our souls together, and sin came into the world after sex did. Sex was here to be an act of worship, not a sinful desire. And when you're searching the internet and you're looking for skin and you're looking at that Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue and you're stealing your sister's Victoria's Secret catalog, or you're looking at this, you're looking at that, and ladies, when you're looking at the Abercrombie & Fitch magazine, you're looking at those models and you're looking at everything in all the magazines, here's what you're doing. You're taking your God-given sexual desires and you're acting like a dog. And you're stealing that person's humanity. You're making that person an object. And they're not an object. They're not a product to consume. They're a person created in the image of Christ. When you're searching for skin, you're robbing them of their humanity and you're giving up something you can never get back. Did you know this? This is going to freak some of you out. It's sitting even in my notes. There was an interview. Anybody ever heard of Ted Bundy? Anybody? Yeah, serial killer, right? He was arrested in Tallahassee, Florida, my hometown. In fact, my best friend's dad growing up was one of the arresting officers on that case. Well, here's the thing. Ted Bundy did an interview with James Dobson, who started an organization, a ministry called Focus on the Family. It was the only interview, the only person he wanted to talk to prior to his execution in the final days of his life. And as James Dobson was sitting there and he was talking to him, he asked him, you know, what led you down this road? He wanted to try and put his mind around it and try to understand, you know, how can we maybe prevent this type of thing happening in the future? And he said this. He said the same thing that leads every other serial killer, I'm paraphrasing, serial killer down that road. It starts with pornography. Because it starts a fantasy world, you see? You start living in a fantasy, you start to believe it's real, and you take away that person's humanity, you give up your humanity, and you hand yourself over. And let me tell you, it can be really dark. It destroyed my brother's marriage and destroyed his life. And pornography isn't just a guy problem. We like to think it is, but it's not. Sex isn't meant to be nasty. Sex is meant to be something glorified. Sex is something that God gave us to experience the oneness that He created us to have with the person He created us to be with. And if it's outside of marriage, that's not them. God can redeem, God can restore, and He does. But sex outside of marriage is just little sex. You may as well just walk around, lift up your leg, and pee in the yard. Hey, truly, truly. When you do that, you're becoming like animals. You're moving backwards. You see, God thought of sex. In His incredible imagination, He gave us sex. It was here before sin was. And in John 10:10, Jesus talking says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. The fullest. The fullest. In other words, he came so that we could have the best sex ever. The fullest life. And the only way you can do that is in the context of marriage between a husband and a wife. That's the only way. And at that point, that's life hitting on all cylinders. That's what He's talking about. God will forgive, heal, cleanse, and change you when it comes to sex. You see, God's view of sex is simply this. God created sex for pleasure before He created it for procreation. You know, the church oftentimes likes to say, well, sex was just created to populate the earth. No, it wasn't. Because God hadn't told Adam and Eve to go populate the earth. But He gave him a woman, and they became one flesh long before they ever started populating the earth. It was given for pleasure before it was given for procreation. And it's not here. Sex is not here just to populate the earth. It's here to give you pleasure when it's used in a God-driven way. So how can you have sex in a God-driven way? Because some of you in this room, you're already thinking about it. Some of you are dating someone right now, and you're maybe even making plans on when it's going to be and where it's going to be. And you get those warm fuzzies, and then your stomach gets all tight. And you're thinking, well, should I? Let me just go ahead and tell you this. If you're asking yourself, should I? The answer is no. The answer is no. If someone says to you, why don't you ask God? And you go, nah, the answer is no. If you can't do it in front of your parents, the answer is no. If you can't do it in front of me, the answer is no. Listen, I love my wife. I think my wife is the most beautiful woman God ever created. Do you see me? Hang on. I'm not doing that to get an awe moment, a verge awe. But here's the thing. Gina and I have passion for one another. But we don't walk around kissing. Some of you are like, well, that's because you're in your 40s. No, it ain't.
Mm-mm. Nope.
It's because God created that to be shared between two people, one-on-one. Listen, no ringy, no dingy. And I'll even take it a step further. You got to set some boundaries in your life. You ever thought about this? Look at these pillows on this bed, right? Now, when Gina and I got married, now this is actual bedding from one of our guest rooms, but when we got married, we go and you know, you register at different department stores and all this kind of stuff, and back then it was Parisian, right? It wasn't Belk, and so we had registered at Parisian, and everybody's giving us gift cards and all this kind of stuff, and we had a lot of money to use, right? And so we go to Parisian in Birmingham, and we're buying, man, it's this beautiful, romantic-looking Jane Seymour collection, you know, like silk, not like the nasty pornography silk, but like the really cool silk, right? And then we got to get all these pillows. And I'm like, baby, why are we getting all these pillows? She's like, because they have to be on the bed. When we make the bed, we got to put the pillows on the bed. And I kid you not, y'all, we have a king-size bed. This isn't a king-size bed. But our pillows go like three-quarters down the bed. That's how many throw pillows we have. And let me just tell you this. When you're married and that passion is there, the last thing you want is a bunch of pillows you got to get rid of. But when you're married, you have the freedom to get rid of the pillows. When you're not, those pillows should serve as a boundary for you. And have you ever thought about this? I was talking to Matt the other day. We were driving to Birmingham, and I said, dude, you ever thought about this? Most people, when they have sex and they're not married, like when you're married, hey, it doesn't matter if you're under the sheets, on top of the sheets, man, it don't matter. Outside of marriage, gotta cover. Why? Because you feel shame. Feel like you got to hide it. Listen, I'm just here to tell you, if you want to have big sex, you need to wait. You need to wait. And some of you in this room went down that road and you're like, I wish I would have waited. And some of you in this room are thinking, I really don't want to wait. Take it from me, okay? Wait. Wait. Set some boundaries. You've got to set some boundaries. And some of you, you're like, oh, man, all we're doing is kissing, man. I just touched her. I just wanted to see what it felt like. Right? You think it's all innocent. If you can't do it in front of your mom and dad, don't do it. I know I probably sound like some horrible video from the 80s that I had to watch growing up, right? I mean, listen, sex ed back then, it was horrible, all right? You think it's bad now. They didn't tell us anything. I mean, I'm serious. We learned everything in magazines. We didn't learn anything at school, and our parents didn't tell us anything about it. So I'm thankful that God's given me the courage and the boldness to stand up here and talk to you about it. Because you're not going to hear this in school. And you're not going to hear this from your friends. And you're certainly not going to hear it from your boyfriend who's trying to get your pants down. But when that happens, what are you going to do? Right? You got to set some boundaries. And you got to get real about this. It's not just sex. I could go into so many things about where it can take you, where it can lead you, the road that you could go down. I could talk to you tonight about soul ties. I could talk to you about all this kind of stuff. But the one thing that God wanted me to tell you tonight is that God gave us sex before sin entered the world. And sex isn't sin. Sex is worship, and worship is sex when used in a God-driven way. But outside of marriage, it's not God-driven. And outside of marriage, it's not God-given, and it's not blessed. You got to get real. So let's take a look at this, 1 Corinthians 6, as we get ready to close tonight. 1 Corinthians 6, starting with verse 12. And this is why I say to you, you need to get real. Just because something is technically legal doesn't mean that it's spiritually appropriate. If I went around doing whatever I thought I could get by with, I'd be a slave to my whims. You know the old saying, first you eat to live and then you live to eat. Well, it may be true that the body is only a temporary thing, but that's no excuse for stuffing your body with food or indulging it with sex. Since the master honors you with a body, honor him with your body. Did you get that? Since he gave you, since God, the master, gave you a body, honor him with your body. God honored the master's body by raising it from the grave. He'll treat yours with the same resurrection power. Until that time, remember that your bodies are created with the same dignity as the master's body. So, you've heard me say this before. Next time you're typing those keys on the internet, where are you taking his hands? Next time you're looking at something you don't need to be looking at, where are you taking his eyes? Next time you stick your mouth somewhere it doesn't need to be, where are you taking his mouth? Because it's his. You wouldn't take the master's body off to a whorehouse, would you? I should hope not. Y'all are like, this is in the Bible? Yeah, sure is. There's more to sex than mere skin on skin. Sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical fact. As written in Scripture, the two become one. Since we want to become spiritually one with the master, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, leaving us more lonely than ever. The kind of sex that can never become one. There is a sense in which sexual sins are different from all others. In sexual sin, we violate the sacredness of our own bodies, these bodies that were made for God-given and God-modeled love, for becoming one with one another. Or didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? You see, he knit your soul together. He did. I love evolutionists like to say, well, we've really, really grown, we've really evolved, and we're really becoming something. No. God made it. He knit it. I wasn't once a monkey, or I would have sex like a monkey. You're not a dog. Don't act like one. Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole works. So let people see God in and through your body. Outside of marriage, sex destroys you, robs you of your innocence, robs you of the intimacy that God wants you to have, and it heaps guilt, shame, condemnation. And sure, you may feel physical pleasure from it, but it's not a spiritual act outside of marriage. And when you have it outside of marriage, you are trading a destiny for one moment of physical pleasure. Because once it's done, all you're thinking about is, it really wasn't that great. Why'd I do that? And just like I said last week, and you're like, I need to go to church. I can't go to church. Everybody's going to know. Everybody's going to talk. People are going to look at me. They're going to know. He's going to talk. She's going to talk. Somebody's going to say something. People are going to know. Who do you think's whispering those lies to you? It's the enemy. When you do it before God gives you the freedom to, you are trading the oneness that God created you to have with the one he created you to have it with for one moment of physical pleasure. And when it's done, you feel guilty, you feel shameful. You're certainly not going to go talk to your mom and dad about it. So that creates a wall there in that relationship. Suddenly mom becomes stupid, dad becomes mean, everybody's this, everybody's that. And it's all because you just didn't set any boundaries. So as the worship team comes up, I want to give you some practical boundaries. And the first practical boundary is this: to live a life that honors God and to live a pure life. The first boundary is this: If you won't do it in front of your mom or your dad, you don't need to be doing it. And you're like, but you don't understand, man. My mom and dad don't even like each other. I don't care. Your relationship that you're going to have with someone one day is not contingent upon the relationship that your parents have today. So set some boundaries. To live a life that's pure and to live a life that honors God. You know, I grew up in a house where if there was a girl over at the house and mom and dad weren't home, we couldn't be inside the house. Now, you would think, well, that's a really good rule to have. No, it's actually really stupid because you can find a way around it, right? Well, we weren't in the house. We were behind the big oak tree, right? So let me just say this. Don't be anywhere where you don't have accountability around you. In fact, I heard a story not too long ago. It's this couple that the girl grew up in Center, Alabama, and it's actually been several years ago now, I guess, because they're about to have their first child. They're married, and they've been dating for a long time. And they went, this is before her mom died, they went to her mom and to her dad, and they said, hey, we just want to talk to you about something. We really, really like each other. And we just want you guys to know that we really like each other, but we don't want to go there, and we need you to help keep us accountable, and we're asking you to do that. And some of you ladies are thinking right now, I'd love to have a guy like that. Well, that's the kind of guy God created you to be with. He didn't create you to be with a dog. And some of you guys are thinking, I don't want a girl like that. And others are thinking, I want a girl like that. Some of you are in relationships right now where you know, man, you've already crossed that line. You maybe haven't had sex, but you're well on your way. I was talking to someone today, much older guy. Man, he was in ministry for a really long time. Ran into him in JCPenney today. And it was a God-ordained moment. And we were talking, and I just shared with him, you know, what we were doing here tonight. And I was like, man, I even got a bed on stage. And he's like, man, that's great. I would have never thought he would have said that, but he did. And he had been in ministry for about 20 years and was serving as an associate pastor at a church. And his marriage wasn't real good. Wasn't much passion, and things weren't good in the bedroom. He told me all of this. I never knew the whole story. He tells me all of this. And he told me I could share it, just so you know. And he said, you know, the secretary at the church, she was having a problem in her marriage too, and we'd talk and, you know, we'd kind of flirt and stuff. But one day I walked in and the pastor was out of town. He was gone a lot. He said he walked in and he looked at her and he said, how's your sex life with your husband? You see, they had already crossed the line before they ever did a thing. And she goes, well, it's pretty much non-existent. He goes, yeah, me too. Me too. So they talk about that for a little while. And then he says, hey, stand up and come with me. She kind of looked at him. She stood up and followed him. And they went around in the printer room, and he kissed her. And that began the relationship. Both of them destroyed families. They're together today, married, happily married. God's redeemed them. God's restored them. But this is what he said. He said, I would give anything to not have made those mistakes. In fact, when I was sitting there to sign the divorce papers, I thought, is there anything I can do? Is there any way that I can stop this from happening? And he signed the papers. He said it was the hardest thing he ever did. He's standing there in JCPenney crying. It's a guy, he's in his 60s. Standing there crying about the mistake that he made. And it all started when he crossed the line in his mind. And some of you in this room, you're crossing the line in your mind every single day, every single moment. Some of you guys are crossing the line in your mind every 20 seconds. And here's the thing. it's time to draw the line again. It's time for you to step back and say, I've crossed it, so I'm going to step back and I'm going to make a bigger line. And I'm going to put a fence on this line. And I'm going to charge it with electricity so that if I touch it, it's going to shock me. You need accountability in your life. If you're in a dating relationship, let me just tell you this right now. You need accountability in your life. And the accountability that you need is not going to come from your best friend who thinks she is so hot or thinks he is so hot. That's not where it's going to come from, because they're just going to tell you, man, I'd do it. The accountability is going to come from maybe your mom, maybe your dad, an aunt, an uncle, a pastor, somebody you trust, someone that can actually speak into your life. This man told me today, he said, I'll give anything to counsel with people now who are thinking about divorce because I know that divorce is not right. I should have never done it. He said, and sometimes people don't see a way out, and I just wish they could hear my story because I can fill in some blanks that they don't have filled in yet. He has two daughters. One desires to have a relationship with him. The other one pays no attention to him. It's affected generations to come. All because up here. All because there were no boundaries. Set some boundaries. Don't be in your room with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. I don't even care if the door's open. Don't be there. Don't lay in the bed with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. You're asking for it. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because that's how it all started, right? Y'all are like, man, this is heavy. No, this is good, guys. This is good. You need to hear this. Set those boundaries and you can live a pure life. You can live a life that honors God. And when you live a life that honors God, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have great sex. You're going to have sex where you can just throw the pillows off the bed. Jump on top of the sheets, under, whatever, don't matter. You're going to have great sex.